It's Thursday, and it's time for Across the Aisle, our weekly roundtable on politics. This week, Cynthia Dill, an attorney who served in the legislature as a Democrat. Dick Woodbury, an economist and former independent lawmaker, and Meredith Strang Burgess of Burgess Advertising and Marketing, a Republican who served at the State House. They spoke with Keith Shordahl.
Cynthia, Dick, Meredith, happy Thursday. So the U.S. Senate, as of this taping, has not yet voted on the GOP tax plan, but we did hear from someone who is key to its chances of passing. Senator Susan Collins this afternoon signaled that she still has some major concerns and is not ready to pledge her support. Among her issues, the plan's elimination of the federal deduction of state and local taxes. In all, there were four amendments that she's proposing. Meredith, politically, I guess she has some clout here to hold out for some of the things that she'd like to see.
The Republicans can only afford to lose two votes. They need the majority, or they need 50. And Susan is very integral to reaching that number. The other folks who had not supported a lot of Trump's proposals, especially as it relates to health care, seem to indicate that they're in support. So Susan might not matter as much, but certainly at this point, it's too soon to call that.
Cynthia, Collins is, as we know, under intense pressure. She's getting a lot of emails, phone calls, and a lot of this is being spurred by activism on social media, as we're seeing these days. Does that work on a member of Congress, or does the real political pressure come from elsewhere?
I think in this case, the Republicans are working together to try to get something done. And so Susan Collins is one piece of the puzzle, and they're going to try to appease her and with some of her demands enough to get her over the line. And the one that she is, it seems to be prioritizing, which is keeping a deduction for state and local taxes up to $10,000, matches what the House proposed. So it seems to be that, that in my mind, is it might actually succeed. So this is a huge bill. I mean, when you look at the bill, it's 515 pages, and they're trying to appeal to everyone. There's a, interestingly, I think, a provision that appeals to the very conservative social, you know, social ideologues around abortion. It recognizes for the first time an unborn, makes it legal to contribute to an unborn child's education savings account, which is just kind of an interesting social issue. There's also a recognition of the sexual harassment scandal that's pervasive in the press. It basically says companies can no longer deduct settlements in sexual harassment cases if there are non-disclosure agreements. So it's really interesting because it's trying to push for the publicity around sexual harassment. Companies can get a deduction as long as they make it known that they're paying the settlement. So Senator Collins wants a few things. All of these Republicans want a few things. And the challenge for Republicans is piecing together a document that can hopefully get the 50
votes. Lisa Murkowski of Alaska got her oil drilling thrown in there. So
exactly.
This is really how it works, I guess. Dick, are Republicans here expecting that the benefits of these tax cuts, if approved, will be evident to middle-class voters, frustrated voters by next November, that the economy will grow as they said that it will, and that any possible negative effects, such as losing health care coverage, really won't be a factor come the election of 2018?
I'm not sure what they're thinking in terms of what's going to happen to the economy. I think this is a pretty politically defining moment for Senator Collins. She has such strong political capital in this state as a moderate. This is a vote I'm going to remember. It's because so many of the things that I think are such core fundamental issues with the American economy, you know, one is, you know, we already spend about $5,000 more per household than we take in taxes. So we've got this ongoing deficit that, you know, now is an enormous public debt of about $120,000 per household. The idea that we're doing a tax cut in the midst of that, you know, I find deeply concerning. I also, you know, just to point to other issues, the magnitude with which we've increased the inequality of resources in the country, you know, this thing seems to go the wrong direction on that as well. Our health insurance markets are fragile, and the complicated pieces of what held the markets together through the Affordable Care Act's changes really get threatened when you take away the individual mandate. So, I mean, this bill is in so many ways, in my view, and I'm a fiscal, I'm very much a fiscal moderate, but this bill is so the wrong direction to me that I hope she eventually sees it that way as well.
Meredith?
I think we also have to remember there's unanimity that the tax code needs to be addressed and it needs a major overhaul. Well, one thing it does right off the bat is that everybody who's earning $24,000 and some odd dollars is tax-free income. Your first $24,000 of income, and a lot of people don't even make that amount. And currently, they're paying tax on that.
Cynthia, as we keep score here, this was a big deal originally because the Trump administration had, and the Republican-controlled Congress, had to pass something to show that they could get something done. If this gets then done, what's the next thing in terms of legislative agenda?
Ooh, the next election. This is all about setting the party up for the midterm election and trying to, you know, lessen the damage that's been done by the chaos. And so, I mean, right now the timing is such that the economy is humming along at a clip that we haven't seen in a long time. Stock market's booming. Senator Collins, I think she's going to be hard-pressed to vote against this bill. I'd put money on her supporting the bill. If, you know, these other things, she wants to get her reinsurance issue addressed in a continuing resolution that she's hoped to pass beforehand. But if she can address her concerns around the repeal of the mandate and this deduction for local taxes, I just don't see how she's not going to vote with Republicans for what's being described as the biggest tax cut in decades when the base of the Republican Party are, for the most part, these large corporations and donors. And we're not going to really – liken it to this CTE that football players have. You know, you can't really diagnose it until they're dead. We don't know really what the impact is. So right now it's just all show. And I just think she has to be on board.
Well, so to me that's just representative of the fact that the Congress is broken. The way that these – you know, that a bill like this is getting, whatever, rammed through in some politically tax cut. Congress seems to me seriously broken.
Well, remember the process. I'm all about the process here. Remember, this is the Senate piece, then it's going to get reconciled with the House. And so it is going to yet go through many more different morphs here as we go through.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm about the process, too. And this process is unlike any other process that's taken place for major tax reform. I mean, they have crammed through a bill that people have definitely not had a chance to review. And it's only the powerful corporations and these huge organizations that have a team of experts that can quickly analyze and lobby that are going to get anything out of it.
All right. Cynthia, Dick, Meredith, see you next week.